Listen to the best of the church's music for the Advent season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Advent season, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Muslim Americans are our friends and our neighbors, our co-workers, our sports heroes. And yes, they are our men and women in uniform who are willing to die in defense of our country. We have to remember that.
That's President Barack Obama speaking from the Oval Office last night. He had a short address to the nation. Rather rare that the president will speak from the Oval Office. It's only the third time in his two terms that he's done so, on the occasion of the San Bernardino shooting and what we know, kind of giving us a status update, what we ought to do and what he says we ought not to do. We're going to respond to some of the remarks that the president made about Islam during his Oval Office address last night. Welcome back to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Dr. Alvin Schmidt will be our guest here for the next half hour or so. We'll have him respond to some of the remarks made about Islam by the president last night. Pastor Tom Baker joins us after that. We'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson on the birth of Christ foretold in Luke Chapter 1. You can join us with questions or comments, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at @issuesetc. Our beloved on-demand listeners, whenever, wherever you listen, you can use the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382. Dr. Alvin Schmidt joins us to respond to some remarks made about Islam by the president during his Oval Office address last night. Dr. Schmidt is professor emeritus of sociology at Illinois College and author of the book, The Great Divide, The Failure of Islam and the Triumph of the West. Dr. Schmidt, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Well, thank you for having me again.
The president was responding in particular to the San Bernardino shooting. Is there anything the president appears to fail to understand about that shooting as of his address last night?
Well, whether he fails to understand it or doesn't want to, I think are two different things, and I would argue it's the latter for various reasons, because he seems to have a big soft spot in his heart, so to speak, in his mind regarding Islam, and therefore doesn't want to admit, for example, as even the politically correct media often reinforces his particular bent. In other words, it's really not the problem with the Islamic religion, but it's a few crazy people who have deviated from Islam who are engaged in terrorism and so on. And it's a very interesting kind of thing that's going on. It's a form of denial. And really, for example, today is the anniversary, so December 7th, of the Pearl Harbor incident, 1941. What happened when they attacked Pearl Harbor? If you compare it, for example, to the incident of 9/11 in New York in 2001, when Pearl Harbor was attacked, we declared war against Japan, the attackers. When 9/11 was attacked, we said, don't call them bad names. They might do it again. And that's basically the echo we hear to this day. Don't say Islam is bad. Say it's a few radical ones who have deviated from it, and they never provide any evidence how they have deviated from the Quran. We've heard even in the Bush administration, and we continue to hear it now. In fact, not just in our country, but over the entire West, where we hear people say, for example, Islam is a religion of peace, and these are a few crazies that have gone off the path of peaceful Islam. Well, when I hear that remark, I just cringe, because you can only make one of two conclusions when you hear it. Number one, they have either never read the Quran or they're lying. And I suppose there may be a combination of both. The Quran is where these radical jihadists get their ideas from. they're not really radicals, or if they are, it's because the Quran is a radical book that advocates. Let me just give you a couple of passages. One, quote, "I will cast terror into the hearts of those who disbelieve." By the way, that's you and me. "Therefore, strike off their heads and strike off every fingertip of them." Surah 8:12. Surah is the word, as many know, is the word, Arabic word for chapter. So in the 8th chapter, the 12th verse is what I just read. Let me read you another from the 2nd chapter or surah. "So when the sacred months have passed away, then slay the idolaters wherever you find them and take them captive and besiege them and lie in wait for them in every ambush." End of quote. Still another. "O you who believe," meaning the Muslims, "fight those who are unbelievers who are near you and let them find in you hardness and know that Allah is with those who guard and help you." Another one. "Fight them. Allah will punish them by your hands and bring them to disgrace and assist you against them and heal the hearts of the believing people." Again, Surah 9. Now, there are roughly 100 similar passages in the Quran that say what I just read. Yet Islam is declared as a religion of peace, even though they have walked down the streets of London and elsewhere with signs saying, for example, "We will conquer you and take you over," and so on down the line. And this is, for example, what is not known to the public. The media will never make it known because they bend over backwards. Part of Obama's speech, for example, indicates again that we should not discriminate against them on the basis of their religion. Well, first of all, where have we? Ever since 9/11, the media and basically Americans, I think, have bent over backwards not to give any kind of discrimination appearance vis-a-vis the Muslims. And so does he not understand it? I think he does. It's just sympathy for the Muslims. He, after all, grew up in that environment. So I can understand, not that I think it's wise or acceptable, but that's really, when the media say fails to understand, they're basically, in a sense, downplaying the seriousness of it and indicating that he is not capable of almost of not understanding. He's not that dense not to understand the situation.
President Obama, speaking in the Oval Office last night, had this to say about what he called the perversion of Islam under which the two shooters in San Bernardino were acting.
"So far, we have no evidence that the killers were directed by a terrorist organization overseas or that they were part of a broader conspiracy here at home. But it is clear that the two of them had gone down the dark path of radicalization, embracing a perverted interpretation of Islam that calls for war against America and the West."
What's your response there, Dr. Schmidt?
Again, there's one of two things you can conclude. Number one, that he really doesn't understand or really is not honest in describing what he just described. And you can't really make any other conclusions. It's not that difficult to understand what's been going on. We have, since political correctness came into this country in the late 1980s and so on, been completely taken over by this phenomenon. I've often said Islam's best friend today is political correctness, meaning that you can't say anything bad or what have you. Even if you compare, for example, what happened in Nazi Germany, we didn't say, "Oh, those are only a few crazy Nazis." No, we fought the whole country. We didn't isolate them and say, "Oh, there are a few radicals only." And here we do the very opposite of what really needs to be done to fight the situation, and ultimately, the West is on a path of suicide. A few years ago, I gave a paper to Concordia Seminary faculty at their opening fall retreat. How long can the West survive with repeated denials of attacks from the Islamic forces? Well, it's a question. We don't know. But if we continue to do this, they will get the upper hand. And a few years ago, I read a statement from a Muslim in France. He says, "Our greatest advantage and our greatest plus as Islam is the ability to instill fear into the hearts of the Westerners." Well, they have done that. At the same time, we don't want to recognize in terms of the fact that we have been intimidated and that we ultimately are doing this to our own detriment.
Dr. Alvin Schmidt is our guest. We're responding to some remarks made about Islam during President Obama's Oval Office address last night. When we come back, we'll hear a couple other things that the president had to say. Dr. Alvin Schmidt is professor emeritus of sociology at Illinois College and author of the book, The Great Divide, The Failure of Islam and the Triumph of the West.
You might wonder, is it possible for my child with special needs to receive a rich classical Christian education? Issues Etc. guest Cheryl Swope answers yes. With the Simply Classical curriculum created by Cheryl and published by Memoria Press, there's no reason to withhold a beautiful education from any struggling student. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR. Classicalspecialneeds.com.
Are you concerned that nativity scenes aren't being displayed in public places? Why not display one at your church or your home? The Outdoor Nativity Store produces durable, affordable, and American-made outdoor nativities for Christians around the world. To view a variety of nativity sets, visit OutdoorNativityStore.com. These nativities will hold up under the harshest weather conditions, snow, ice, and wind. The Outdoor Nativity Store. OutdoorNativityStore.com.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
Listen to chapel services live. Weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Morning Chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
The Lord bless us, defend us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Dr. Alvin Schmidt is our guest, responding to some remarks last night made by President Obama in his Oval Office address when he was addressing the issue of the San Bernardino shooting. He's made about three remarks about Islam itself. Here's another one, Dr. Schmidt. I'd like your response to it. This is President Obama discussing the interpretation of Islam.
That does not mean denying the fact that an extremist ideology has spread within some Muslim communities. Is a real problem that Muslims must confront without excuse. Muslim leaders here and around the globe have to continue working with us to decisively and unequivocally reject the hateful ideology that groups like ISIL and Al-Qaeda promote, to speak out against not just acts of violence, but also those interpretations of Islam that are incompatible with the values of religious tolerance, mutual respect, and human dignity.
It raises two questions, Dr. Schmidt. First of all, if you read the Quran, just a kind of a basic reading of the Quran, will you find those values of tolerance and human dignity in the book itself?
They're not there, period. They're just not there. Challenge anybody to give me one single passage that indicates that Muslims are supposed to be tolerant to the what they call infidels or unbelievers. There aren't any. This is a creation that is done without any foundation relative to Islamic teaching. It's also done not understanding what Islam has done for ever since it came into existence in the early 7th century, and what Muhammad did and how he conquered the whole eastern and northern part of Africa, and then in Spain for almost 800 years. So it's simply not true. And for example, when he says that they should confront it, where do we, or have we since 9/11 heard any Muslims saying that? You know, one is reminded of the song we heard many years ago, The Sounds of Silence. And that's exactly what's happening. And that will not happen because they would be contradicting their teaching. And they would put themselves in trouble if some so-called moderate Muslims would do that. One of two things would happen. They would be either totally ignored and shunned by their own family and relatives, or they are subject to be executed somewhere along the line. So they won't speak up, even those who really technically would say that. And if they did, they would no longer be true Muslims. They would at best be nominal Muslims, only in name, meaning they no longer adhere to or believe in the Quran. And that's the thing, again, that is not mentioned at all, and we tend to not quite get the message. I might also mention one or two other things that were very interesting in his particular speech. 12 times he mentioned ISIL, I-S-I-L, rather than ISIS, I-S-I-S. Now, this is an interesting phenomenon that he's been doing for some time. And a lot of people don't quite know why he's doing it. There have been several attempts at trying to figure it out and guess what it means. And some may be accurate. He certainly knows what it means. Some people have suggested that he uses ISIL rather than ISIS. By the way, and ISIS, as most people know, stands for the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria. Whereas ISIL, Islamic State, the Islamic State of Lebanon, which means it covers the whole eastern side of the Mediterranean. That's what's often called, I shouldn't say Lebanon, I meant the Levant. The eastern side of the Mediterranean is called the Levant. It ranges all the way from Lebanon south to the northern border of Egypt, which would mean it would also include Israel. But by saying, for example, Lebanon, he is again trying to evade something obvious, namely about. And some also have suggested that perhaps he is saying this because to say Islamic State of Iraq and Syria would remind people of his colossal failure, where he had drawn a red line a few years ago and said, if you cross this, we will deal with the situation. Well, he did nothing. And so, and some people suggest maybe that's why he doesn't want to use the word Syria in ISIS, and rather uses the word Levant, the L at the end. But he used it 12 times in his speech, because I counted it and I was aware of what is he going to say. And again, he did. He fails to say ISIS. Again, he knows there's some political reason. We don't really know for sure. All we do is can conjecture on it. But it's another thing that was very outstanding in that particular speech. 7 minutes long, 12 times he mentioned that particular acronym.
The other term that he used, Dr. Schmidt, is extremist ideology, and he kind of framed it in the way that there's Islam as kind of a religious system, and then there is this separate thing that he calls an extremist ideology that has infected some people who are adherents to Islam. Is that how we ought to understand the situation?
That's the myth that's being spread. And if one, you know, even the term radical Islam is a bad term because it implies that there are only exceptions. But what about the so-called radical Islam? They follow the Quran right down the book. Even in the San Bernardino situation, we saw pictures where the Quran was visible in the context of these terrorists. Well, again, it indicates they follow the Quran. They're not deviating from the Quran. And somehow or another, I still think the average person still doesn't get the message. They still tend to think that it's only a few extremists, although I think more and more people are coming to the point of believing it's not the way the media continually try to convey it.
Now, I wonder whether or not we really ought to frame this in terms of that what I think the president and many in the media want to portray as the real face of Islam, which is westernized Islam, is the true exception here. Not that every Muslim worldwide is a terrorist, but the true exception is what the president and others in his administration, then the media often as well, want to set up as the gold standard for Islam, and that is westernized Islam.
Yeah, I think you're right. And the situation we have here is that somehow or another, we are not led to believe by the media. The media are still engaged in trying to make this a group-related or party-related violence, and that really has nothing to do. Even, for example, the White House correspondent spokesman said there was still really no evidence that it was linked to any international terrorists, in spite of the fact that the FBI has said there is so. So again, what more can we say other than we're trying to cover up, and as I said earlier, to our detriment. And the earlier we begin to realize it, the better it will be. I also might mention in his speech, for example, that we need to do more checking on people who come to this country with a visa. Well, this is an outright contradiction to the recent statements coming from the White House where he said he will admit at least 10,000 Syrian refugees. Well, how could those people come checked with visas? Most of them, for example, don't even have any passports. Again, another contradiction that I don't know how well it was picked up or not, but the speech was not a speech that will in any way help alleviate the situation and the problem.
One final excerpt from the president's Oval Office address last night where he talked about ISIS as not a true representation of Islam.
Here's what else we cannot do. We cannot turn against one another by letting this fight be defined as a war between America and Islam. That, too, is what groups like ISIL want. ISIL does not speak for Islam. They are thugs and killers, part of a cult of death. And they account for a tiny fraction of more than a billion Muslims around the world, including millions of patriotic Muslim Americans who reject their hateful ideology.
What are your thoughts there, Dr. Schmidt?
Well, like I said a little while ago, if ISIL does not speak for Islam, then why do these people always have and clutch the Quran to their side? And, for example, why do they never, ever deny, or shall I say, never admit that they have departed from Islam and doing something different for the sake of producing a caliphate? You don't hear that either.
Again, doesn't it make more sense given what has actually occurred and the way that Islam actually has spread itself historically and the way that Islam manifests itself in the countries where it's of political majority and even when it is trying to attempt a political majority, that the real cult of death here is Islam itself, while there may be people under its sway who do not buy into the full extent of what the Quran would command of its followers?
Yes, the world of Islam is full of nominal Muslims, as Christianity is full of a lot of nominal Christians who really don't read the Quran as Muslims and basically just go along with it because it's their cultural habit to and friends to live a comfortable life with them, similar to Christians who are nominal. And that is never discussed, for example, that these so-called moderate Muslims are really, at best, nominal Muslims, only Muslims in name. But how many there are of those, we don't have a clue, none whatsoever. And as I said earlier, they will not speak out, even those who are nominal, because of the trouble they would create for themselves doing so. And I might also finally add, for example, that the so-called rejection of hateful ideology, again, comes from the Quran. Where else does it come from? If Obama and others could show us that it comes from some non-Islamic source, it would be great. But it doesn't. It comes from the Quran. And that is what we need to remember, and that is what the public needs to hear from the media. But the media has so far been basically not been honest or not wanting to be honest, either in case we are living to our own ultimately demise if this continues to grow, and I'm afraid it might.
We focused here for the last few minutes, Dr. Schmidt, on President Obama's Oval Office address, but what he has been saying here is essentially kind of just picking up what his predecessor, George W. Bush, of a completely different political party here, began after 9/11. He was adamant in a kind of kinder, gentler way that Islam is a religion of peace.
Yeah, well, yeah, as I said a little while ago, when the Japanese attacked us, we didn't say we're not in war with Japan or with their religion. We didn't even distinguish between religion, Japanese religion and the Japanese. We fought them because we saw our safety at stake. Now, for example, to say Islam is a religion of peace denies reality, denies 1,400 years of history. And ultimately, what more can one say that we are living in a state of denial? And that is, in essence, if we cooperate or do what he suggests, we are furthering the state of denial to our own demise, as I said a little while ago. And I pray that as Christians, we would begin to become more conversant with what Islam is. I have often told people when I speak, read the Quran. Don't believe me. But people don't read their Bible. They're not going to read the Quran. First of all, it's a very difficult book to read to begin with. But read it, and you'll see whether this religion of Islam has ever been peaceful. It's certainly not.
Dr. Alvin Schmidt is professor emeritus of sociology at Illinois College and author of the book, The Great Divide, The Failure of Islam and the Triumph of the West. Dr. Schmidt, thank you for being our guest.
It was my pleasure to be with you. Thank you.
Folks, please help us defend the faith and teach the truth by making a year-end tax-deductible contribution to support the worldwide outreach of issues, etc. Any size gift is deeply appreciated. You can donate by check. Make your check payable to Issues, etc. and send it to Issues, etc. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. That address again, Issues, etc. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online contribution at issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening and thanks for thinking of Issues, etc. when you consider your year-end giving. When we come back, we'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel, The Birth of Jesus Foretold in Luke chapter 1.
Our cities are some of the greatest mission fields on the planet, but the footprint of the church is shrinking. We dare not shrink from our cities. Christ is needed now in our urban areas. From chaos, turmoil, decay, death, and destruction, Jesus brings peace, hope, resurrection, eternal life, and rebuilding. And you can help by being a hero for the city. Find out how at lcms.org/citymission or on Facebook at LCMS City Mission. Every city needs a hero. Capes and helmets not required.
Please consider the worldwide outreach of Issues, etc. when you consider your year-end giving. With 1 month left in 2015, we're approximately $93,000 short of expenses. You can make a secure online gift at issuesetc.org. You can also make a year-end tax-deductible donation by check. Make your check payable to Issues, etc. Send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for listening. And thanks for keeping us in mind at the end of the year.
The saints at Gethsemane Evangelical Lutheran Church in downtown Marion, Ohio, invite you to join us as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation, which he won for us in his perfect life, death, and resurrection. Sunday school for all ages begins at 9:15 a.m. with a divine service following at 10:30. Visit our website, Gethsemane-LCMS.org, or find us on Facebook to learn more about our confessional, historical, and liturgical congregation.
Just as God commanded his Son to be born through humble means, he often works through small, unexpected ways to fulfill his promises to us. That's what your young children, grandchildren, and godchildren will learn in the Issues, etc. Book of the Month, O Bethlehem. This arch book would make a great Christmas gift for children ages 5 through 9. O Bethlehem is published by Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or you can find out more at issuesetc.org. O Bethlehem.
Your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Steadfast Lutherans. People who believe that traditional Lutheran preaching, liturgy, and hymnody continue to deliver Christ crucified for sinners today. The Reformation attempted to return the church's focus on what we do for God back to a focus on what God does for us, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Some things never change. The gospel is still under attack from inside and outside the church. To see how Lutheran doctrine and practice preserve the gospel, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
You can receive 50% off the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series during Logia's special Reformation sale. Books like The Church by Professor Kurt Marquardt, Christology, Law and Gospel and the Means of Grace, and Baptism by Dr. David Scare, and Eschatology by Dr. John Stevenson. Browse before you buy at logia.org. You'll even find essays by Issues, etc., regular guests for as low as $2. Logia's Reformation Sale, logia.org, L-O-G-I-A.org.